Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pep Talks. I am here with my co-host, Steve Lally.
Hey, everybody. We're back.
We're back. And our guest today is Shayna Rabbani.
Hey, guys.
Persian Jew and half Mexican is Shayna. Steve, you are Jewish and what?
Italian.
Italian. And I am Italian and Jewish. But my mother's Jewish, so I'm Jewish by Jewish law.
Me too. Yeah. We never know whether to steal or buy wholesale. That was my first joke that I ever had, my uncle told me when I was like 17.
I think, was Woody Allen also half Italian, half Jewish?
I don't think so, no.
He wasn't, but I heard a joke that said, well, I'm half Italian, half Jewish. That means I negotiate with you before I kill you or something like that. But that's not what we're here to talk about, our religious affiliate. It's not really religious. It's just who we are.
What we're made up of. I mean, the people who made us, we didn't have any really say in it.
I think, Shayna's from Ohio, is that right?
Correct.
Now, what the fuck is, what goes on in Ohio?
Absolutely.
I don't know. I've got to start playing Ohio. I've got to start doing comedy there, you know?
Yeah, there's nothing going on.
Is that true? No. What town from Ohio?
I'm from Toledo.
Toledo. Yes. Now that's like a punchline to jokes. Yeah. Like Toledo. It was particularly true in like old school, like sitcoms or vaudeville guy. Toledo. Like Toledo. Used to be a thriving.
Yeah.
It used to be a thriving center of manufacturing.
Yeah. It was in a hotel in Toledo. You could hear the vaudeville.
Yeah.
The Catskill comic.
I don't usually tell people I'm from Toledo. I say near Columbus.
Ah, Columbus is the jewel of Ohio.
Or Cleveland.
Cleveland. Cleveland has gotten some good press lately.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't know a thing about Ohio except that there's a lot of companies that left it, right?
Yes.
What was your experience growing up in Toledo? By the way, welcome to Pep Talks. We just jumped right into it today. I just want to say hello to everybody before we go back to dissecting Toledo, Ohio. Now, we just want to like get Shayna comfortable and see where she's from. I'm from Brooklyn. Steve, you're from?
Chicago Heights.
Chicago Heights, Toledo, Ohio. This is a very American
table.
American podcast. The first thing I want to mention before we get back to Toledo, because this is the first time I'm on since we lost our buddy, Stephen Brody Stevens. Brody, just Brody. I just knew Brody. And it's been really difficult. And there's been tons of tributes to him, tons of comedians talking about how much he meant to them, and you've got to check Brody's stuff out online if you haven't.
One of a kind. Nobody like him. There's nobody like him in comedy before, and then there won't be another person like him in comedy.
What was so unique, you think?
It was just his delivery, his personality.
It's his personality. Did you know Brody?
I didn't, unfortunately. No. I mean, from movies, I remember him in The Hangover.
Come closer to the mic, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to be close to the mic for this.
Okay. Like this.
But so you've seen him do stuff. Were you like, oh shit, this guy's funny?
He was funny. He was, We went last night to a tribute for him.
Right. You guys were at the tribute at the Comedy Store. I didn't make it. I had to do my taxes last night, which tells you a lot about me, by the way. Do I go see someone I've known for 25 years a tribute, or do I do my taxes? I did my taxes.
Brody would have wanted you to have
you
done
have
it.
You have to get your taxes done, Eddie.
I'm really upset about it, though, because he was so full of life, and it hurts that he is gone. It really hurts. We had one caller, too, who talked about it, and she, I'll play it later, but it's like you get angry, too, and but then the anger passes, and you're just like, God damn it, just like, why is he gone, man?
Dude, he's here every week with us, man. Every week,
We did the podcast after Brody, so we would see Brody coming out of the ATC studios, and we'd always chat with them. And and he talked about his issues with depression and battling those demons a lot on his Periscope, and he just talked about it a lot. But I never knew how serious it was, and it's just I just wanted to. You know, mention Brody, and I've known him for 25 years, and I cannot believe he's not with us. Just such a unique guy, like you said, such a unique guy and a sweet guy.
He made everybody feel welcome. That was his thing. You know, when I told the story when I was new, and you'd say, "Is Brody in there? Go see if Brody's in there."
Uh-huh.
And I would peek in, and I'd go, "Yeah, he's in there," and you'd say, "Is he mm-hmm. all alone?" And we'd mm-hmm. laugh. And then mm-hmm. Brody would come out and BS with us.
Yeah.
And you finally asked him one time, you go, "What do you talk about in there for 2 hours?"
I know.
And he's like, "I just talk about whatever I want. And sometimes we play the baseball card game, you know?" Mm. And we played the baseball card game with him. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And he pulled out the baseball yeah. card.
Mm-hmm. This is him on the wall, right?
Yeah, that's him right there.
Yeah, yeah. He's all over the place here. Yeah. But I feel he's a kindred spirit. He's such a kindred spirit with me because I battle, you know, I think we both I use like, and a lot of comedians, of course, like our demons, our anxiety, our depression, our like lack of faith, our, you know, like it's such a struggle to fucking live, you know? It's such a struggle to stay positive. And he would always say, "Positive energy!" And someone pointed out in one of the tributes that, you know, he was always saying that because he needed to believe it. He right. needed to hear. He needed to hear himself say that, you know? And I tend to go the other way. Like, I tend to be really dark and negative. And it's cathartic for me. Like, I do the opposite of kind of what he did.
You go into the abyss.
I go into the abyss, but in a funny way. Like, I try to make it funny. I try to show the absurdity of our struggle. Like, how absurd life can be, you know? How absurd it can be. But he touched so many fucking people, you know? Any highlights from the tribute that you saw yesterday at the Comedy Store?
You?
And then we'll get back to Toledo. Because I'm sure a lot of people are like, please, get done with the Brody stuff. And
sad and boring.
I want to hear...
from sad to boring.
I want to hear what Toledo is really like from a Toledian. What do you call him? Toledian? Toledo?
Toledoan. Toledoan.
Toledoan.
Toledian.
That sounds very...
Toledian is
sounds
funny.
Very Toledo.
Yeah.
Toledoan. But yeah, about the tribute, it was very... Mm-hmm. Everyone said the same thing about him, just how mm-hmm. amazing he was and how he was able to lift up all these people and how he... Mm-hmm. So it's just really sad to hear like such a happy mm-hmm. person. They had made shirts and all the shirts said positive energy.
Mm.
And it's just so sad that someone who had such a positive impact on everybody else's life was just so...
Mm-hmm.
struggling with so much internally. It was just mm-hmm. that really, you know, hit home for me.
I think, you know, he's so beloved because he really shared his life.
Sure.
Like there yeah. was not much of a filter.
Mm-hmm. He was raw and very genuine.
Yeah, and yeah. people really respond to that because so many of us are buttoned down. So many of us are, you know, we suffer from something I like to call the Toledo syndrome, where we just kind of closed off.
Yeah, one of the comics actually said, you know, if anyone is struggling here, you call somebody. Don't feel burdened. Don't feel, you pick up the phone and give them a call because no one should mm-hmm. deal with it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people need to remember that. You're not alone. You have people who care about you.
Yeah, it made me realize the value of the comedy. Made me realize a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. The value of the community that we're in, the comedy community. And as much as I hate everybody in it.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah, no, I don't. But it gets so competitive.
Yeah.
And, It's really fucked up, man. This competitive shit is so, it's so fucked
up. It's bullshit,
to be competitive with your colleagues, you know, if I can call these idiots colleagues. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's like, no, we have to support each other. And I mean, it just sounds trite, but like, love each other. And it's just like, you realize when someone takes his own life like that, that it's all about really, you know, all this shit that we like strive for, status, fame, money. It's, I mean, we need the money, right? We need money to survive, but it's like, it's not about that, right? It's not about that. It's about love.
But you get a vibe from comedians, and it, and it's like a primal, primitive thing, Eddie. Mm-hmm. And you get a vibe from comedians. Tell me, if, correct me if I'm wrong. And you feel like they're threatened by you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I never got that feeling from Brody Stevens.
Oh, you see, ever. That's why not he was so ever. Beloved.
That's why.
Yeah.
He never
He had a any. Big heart, man.
Yeah.
He had a big heart. And it just made me realize we got to love each other in the comedy community, not to take life for granted, too, and support each other.
You know, in Toledo, we do support each other. That's one thing.
You have to. Because Toledians are such kind of pariahs or an outcast from like Columbus.
Oh, they're the armpit of Ohio, you know?
It's true. Is it?
I don't know.
Well, if Cleveland it makes it any
is
better.
Cleveland, by the way, is the burger capital of like the country.
Burger?
The cheeseburger capital of the country.
Oh, really?
Yeah. More burgers are consumed in the city of Cleveland, Ohio.
Wow.
It's also the serial killer capital of the United States.
Yeah. Well, that I believe. That yeah, you believe that too?
I believe that one.
What is?
I'm from Sylvania, though, which is a suburb in Toledo, which I would call the Beverly Hills of Toledo.
Oh, nice. Nice.
You know, yeah, we didn't see Maseratis and Bentleys, but
yeah.
It was BMWs and Mercedes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing comedy, Shayna?
Go ahead.
Honestly. Okay. Professionally, 3 weeks.
So you're a veteran, and no, 3 weeks. 3 weeks in, are you? How old are you?
24.
Okay. And you, the reason Shayna drove Steve to the podcast, and I said, "Hey, you want to come on?" Because
yeah,
3 weeks in, I didn't know you were 3 weeks in. That is so. What did you do before that? What did you do before that?
I am a doula, which is
a doula.
Yes, so I help women give childbirth.
Oh,
I help women go through labor.
Oh, what is that called? Is that what is the other name for that?
Maybe you're thinking of a midwife.
Yes.
Yes.
Is that what?
Well, midwives deliver babies. All I do is I'm just support.
Oh, you're like, come on.
Yes.
You're on the side going, you can do it.
Yes. Yeah. I have like essential oils and we're doing yoga.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, before the birth.
So as soon as she starts having contractions.
You're out of there.
I get a text.
Hey, she's actually going to give birth.
I got to get out.
I'm from Toledo.
Call the midwife. Get the midwife in here. I can't take it from
you. I'm not a midwife. Everybody confuses me for a midwife. I am not a midwife. And I've only been doing comedy about a week and a half.
That's a week and a half ago. This skit takes place.
Yes.
So we made a deal.
Yeah.
That she needed help with her comedy.
Uh-huh.
So she thought I could help her. So we sit down and I help her write out her stuff.
Is that
about
right?
her conservative Sephardic family and her life and everything. And then she drives me around. She bought me tea today. And what else? Do something else, right?
Well,
is that it? You're going to give me a ride when I help you write.
Yeah, it was very much like we were sitting down writing, and I was like, this is great. You know, it's much easier to write comedy when you're sitting with somebody.
That is very true. You already know one of the big secrets. It is so difficult to write alone.
To sit at my desk and I'm writing.
It's so, like you're there
like,
going,
is this funny?
What is funny about, this is me. What is funny about cheese? Let's see. Gouda. Is Gouda funnier than Munster? Or is it?
Fontanella's the funniest.
Which one?
Fontanella.
Fontanella cheese.
Did you have Fontanella growing up?
Did I have Fontanella growing up? We were surrounded by, it was a Fontanella
font.
It was a fountain of Fontanella.
It was a
fountain of Fontanella. It was a cornucopia of Fontanella. It was an ambrosia of Fontanella. It was a Fontanella feast.
Yum.
Yum. Wow. Yeah.
In
so
Toledo,
it is hard.
We had those Kraft, those single squares of cheese. That was the cheese I was.
And she was
with.
In the Beverly Hills of Toledo.
That was in Sylvania.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. Kraft Sylvania. Kraft, where is that company? Where was that company located? I'm sure they're in Bangladesh now, but where were they located? Yeah, these fucking companies, by the way. And your people, meaning the Toledians, all those Ohio people, these fucking companies just split America. They just picked up and said, fuck you. We can get workers.
The laws changed.
We could get workers. Yeah. Well, NAFTA.
NAFTA.
We could get workers in Mexico or India to do your job that you were making $25 an hour with benefits for $3 an hour. So bye-bye.
Bye.
And fuck you. But we still have a great advertising arm and PR arm. And we have actors who will be the face of our shithole companies.
You're not wrong.
This is the amazing thing about him. He says that on stage in front of hundreds of people, sometimes thousands, and they laugh.
Sometimes.
That's what makes him a unique...
Hey, you know, we'll get back to Toledo. I know a lot of people... We're going to dissect the whole Ohio thing, but I also wanted to say that I just got a couple of gigs. I'm going to be at Ant Hall in Detroit.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
And that is Ant Hall. Look it up, folks. Ant Hall in Detroit. And that will be April 5th. And I'm doing Kalamazoo the day before. Kalamazoo, Michigan, April 4th. I'll let you know the details. Oh, it's a place called Shakespeare's. Shakespeare's in Kalamazoo. So I'm doing Michigan. I'm doing the heart of the country.
You're Ohio.
You're right by Ohio.
Am I?
You're adjacent.
We use Detroit's airport. What's 45 minutes away
John
from
Wayne?
Us.
Yeah. Yes. So I could actually go to Toledo.
To Toledo, yes.
I could make a side trip.
Come visit you. I could come see this at Ant Hall.
Is that right?
Yes.
That would be great. That would be great. You should make a special trip in to see me go, we're lucky we're not in Toledo. Like I'll be in Detroit going, Toledo is only 45 minutes away and thank God we're not there. No, I kid Toledians because okay. I don't know anything about that whole. But we have a lot of phone calls. We got a bunch of phone calls because we were out. Last week was the horrible week that Brody passed away, so we weren't here because they did a long, long tribute where there was over 80 guests on the festival.
Five hours, dude.
Were you there for the whole 5 hours?
No, like 3 or 4 hours.
I couldn't go to that when I was getting my nails. I mean, I was sick that time.
He had his...
Yeah. Okay. So I want to go to some phone calls. We got a bunch. I'm going to go to the first one and here we go.
Eddie and co-host, Steve here calling from Toronto. Got a question for you about George Carlin, who I really, really, I've always loved George Carlin since I was a kid. My question, I guess, is, if you think, this might take me a long time to ask because when people think about George Carlin, they mostly talk about, when he was, before he had his changeover in the late 60s, early 70s, he was this kind of comic who wore a bow tie and did this kind of humor and was very square. And then he had his change and then began to do the comedy for the, counterculture and grew his hair out and he became more confrontational, all that stuff, right? There's another change too, though, that happened with, where he went from being a cute kind of hippie, funny and cute sort of into this like raging sort of yelling machine. And every third thing that he said when he was on a big stage became like a major applause line, that kind of thing. And I've always kind of wondered about that, and no one really talks about that, but he became kind of like a punk rock sort of yelling machine later on. If you think about like Eric Clapton before Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton after Jimi Hendrix, and the people who pay attention to that kind of stuff will most definitely, you know, notice a difference. Also, Clapton before Stevie Ray Vaughan and Clapton after Stevie Ray Vaughan, big difference there as well. So kind of George Carlin before Bill Hicks and George Carlin after Bill Hicks. There's even one routine, the whole child fetish thing that George Carlin did in one of his later specials. When I first heard that, I thought, holy shit, this is like, this guy's listening to Bill Hicks kind of thing. I've also wondered about, even down like in the 70s, he must have been using different microphones, because his sound on the albums in the 70s was kind of warmer and fatter and kind of nicer to listen to, but his voice later on, became like kind of difficult to listen to. Still really funny, but you know, he's the kind of the just stuff that bounces around in my head. This show that you have is the only place where I can actually talk about this kind of stuff. Do you have any kind of what do you think about all that shit? You know, George Carlin, right? I used to memorize his comedy albums when I was a boy in school, and I would do them in the schoolyard. He's really, you know, one of the very, very, very best. But no one really mentions the fact that he had a second changeover. You know, we all know about the early one in the 60s and 70s, but no one talks about the other one in the 90s. Did he use different microphones? What happened to the old guy? Did you know George Carlin? If you do, I'd love to hear more about him.
Okay. That was a great call from Steve in Toronto talking about George Carlin.
Because that was the first concert that I saw when I was a teenager.
Is that right? You saw him live?
Jamming in New York. No, HBO. It was live on HBO. It was the first live concert they did on HBO. Oh. And my father, who's a Reagan Republican, sat me down and he said he knew George Carlin from when he was the Hipty Dipty Weatherman.
Oh, yeah.
And he sat me down and he goes,
Steve was kind of talking about,
I'm going to show you George Carlin. And it was George Carlin. We only bomb brown people, except for the Germans. They were trying to dominate the world. That's our fucking job. That was that.
God.
And dude, changed my life, man. I was like 15.
It really influenced you politically.
Oh, dude. And my dad, after the concert, said, son, that's a communist.
Where the fuck? I am so glad. I gotta say, you know, I give my father a lot of shit for being just kind of crazy a little. Crazy. He's crazy. My dad is crazy, but he's so cool politically. He was so cool politically. Thank God he was a real, I mean, he was a real Democrat when Democrat meant something, you know? But I just like having a dad like that. And I know,
but
you love your dad.
But he sat with me. He sat through the whole thing with me. Mm-hmm. He didn't turn it off. He didn't stop it.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah, it was cool. My dad is cool. My dad's a complex, you know, but I saw George. I got to see that. That was my first.
Yeah.
George Carlin was, later on I realized, George Carlin was, it was the 80s. He was getting angry at his generation for turning their back. He was getting angry because his generation of hippies were all empty promises, and they were all selling out, and they were all, he was from the street. He was telling us he was from the street of New York and not a fucking hippie pacifist.
Yeah. I love Carlin, because what Steve was talking about was toward the end of his career, he was angrier. He seemed angrier. But I loved his anger. Were you influenced by Carlin at all? Do you know him?
She doesn't know.
Do you know who he is?
No.
Could you please leave the room? Really? You don't know who George Carlin is?
She
that
will,
makes me sad.
After
that
today.
That makes me sad.
Well, I do now.
Yeah,
I'm learning.
I do now.
Well,
this is the greatest stand-up comedian of one of the two or three greatest stand-up comedians ever to live.
Okay.
You know, change comedy. And
why did you want to do comedy? Let me ask you that.
Don't be offended by the fact that I didn't know that comedian. I'm not offended.
We had a guest on. Our last guest thought Cardi B was great and went on about that for 15 minutes. So we give you a pass with George Carlin.
I don't even know who Cardi B is.
Okay, well, I do.
I guess it's just, it's generational thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen probably less than, I've told him, less than five movies in my entire life.
Less than five? Why? Yeah. Why such a media blackout? Will your parents say, no, 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 you can't watch this shit?
No, I think my ADD was so bad that I couldn't sit still and watch a movie. And so I just got into like...
Were you pacing in rainbow suspenders, smoking a cigar going, we have to do something about the middle of Toledo, Frank.
How did you know that?
So you had really bad ADD, huh?
Yeah, have.
You still have it?
Yeah, I mean...
Are you on medication for it?
No.
Okay.
If I was, I could probably sit down and watch movies, but...
Right, right.
Well, she has homework. I gave her movies to watch. I gave her The Graduate.
Yeah, he did give me a list of movies.
60s and 70s, The Graduate. Movie. And then other, like, Tootsie comedies, you know? Mm-hmm. Tootsie, All of Me, Defending Your Life, Annie Hall, you know?
All good ones. Oh, yeah. Great ones. But I want to get back to Steve's point about one big point he was making was that was Carlin influenced by Hicks? What do you think about that?
There's a video of Bill Hicks on a local, he was sick, he was dying. He was on a local Texas, you know, public access show talking about Carlin's first 90s concert in the 80s when Carlin was getting angry. And they said, aren't you kind of like him? And he said, no, I'm not like him. He's mastered being himself.
I agree with Hicks. I agree with Bill Hicks. And that's coming from the horse's mouth. Steve from Toronto, that Carlin was his own fucking thing. And Shayna knows that she just heard of Carlin. You got to listen to Carlin. I mean, it's just...
So when he says he's had two changeovers.
Well, he originally started, you know, like the hippy-dippy weatherman and just kind of funny. I mean, it's just, to me, it's a natural progression.
Yeah.
Like you start, I remember when I started, not that I'm comparing myself with George Carlin, but I remember when I started, I was just doing characters. And Carlin, I guess, was doing a
bow tie. He was the bow tie clean guy. And he had a second guy with him. He was a team, remember? He had another guy. Mm-hmm. And they were making money. They were doing really well on the road. And then so for him to go become a hippie was a major, you know...
Turning point.
Well, it was a risk because if he didn't succeed, he could ruin his career because he was making money with this other guy doing a double clean act.
Oh, Carlin?
Yeah.
Was it Jack Burns? Who was it? Do you remember?
I don't know who it was. But
I think it was Mike Wallace, the 60 Minutes guy. Mike Wallace.
Are you serious?
I'm kidding. That was a joke for old 60 Minute fans. But we have more call, a lot of calls, and we have some ads to read. We have Shayna's heritage to dissect. Steve, what's been going on with you, buddy?
Man, it's just been so exciting. I've been hanging with Shayna. You know, my life has been...
Have you been?
I've found my calling, just helping young comedians. trying to give back all the destruction I've caused, trying to do something nice for somebody.
Well, we'll let Shayna be the judge of that. Okay. All right, here comes some more. Here comes another call. Let's see this one. But thank you, Steve from Toronto. That was good stuff, man. Okay, here's one. This is a good one about dreams. We're going to do some dream analysis. Here we go.
Ooh. Hey, Eddie. My name is Nadia, longtime listener. I look forward to your podcast every single week. And I feel like many other delusional people that I've gotten to know you over the years. But I'm a little nervous, sorry, but I just wanted to tell you a story that involves you and me. It was in a dream of mine a couple of weeks ago, and I remember it.
By the way, more of you should have dreams about me. No, I'm really serious.
Do you get this often?
No.
Okay.
But I just want to say already, thank you, Nadia, for having a dream where I'm in it, because I don't get on TV a lot. I do get on TV some. I just did a sitcom, and you guys forced my hand on this. I just did a reshoot of a pilot called Bless This Mess with Lake Bell. Look for that on ABC.
Bragging again.
I wasn't bragging. You forced my hand. This audience. YouTube. SoundCloud. I just want to say, since I don't get on TV as much as I like, even though I just was on This Is Not Happening Comedy Central. Did you happen to catch that?
No. There was no sound. Remember, you put a clip.
It was on fucking television.
No, I don't watch TV, man.
You could get it online.
I'm going to. As soon as we leave here, she's going to watch George Carlin, and I'm
going to. Yeah, I'm going to. I really am.
But anyway, Nadia, thank you for putting me in your dream. And if other people could, you know, put me in your dreams, it'd be much appreciated. Because I get residuals from every dream that people have.
Very vividly. So here's the dream. I was walking around town. Like, it was seemed kind of like maybe San Francisco, some kind of a city like that. And I had this kind of a special GoPro camera. And I was taking footage of, like, this and that, artsy stuff. And I was walking by myself. And I found a temple, like a kind of a temple-like building, but wasn't really a temple. It was kind of more like a Masonic temple, you know, not like religious. And I went in there. It was like an old building, but beautiful. And walked in, and I was the only one in there, or so I thought. And I looked around. I was taking footage of the splendor. And suddenly I noticed that someone else was there. And in the distance, I could see it was a man, and slowly coming up to me. I wasn't alarmed, but anyway, I noticed it was you. It was Eddie Pepitone. And you seemed glad to see someone else as well. And you were curious about my device, which was a very strange kind of a camera, actually, like in my dream, like, it folded. It had many different, like, weird, intricate folds in it. It was complicated to use, and you were very curious. You were like, oh, I've never seen something like that. And I was kind of showing you how it folded, and you were really, you know, seemed avuncular, a friendly dude, you know, as you are. Anyway, that was really the whole dream. Just wanted to let you know. And I love your show.
Wow, that dream. What did you think about it? So here's the, Nadia, thank you so much for that call and being in your dream. So she's alone in San Francisco and walks into a temple, but not a
religious
synagogue temple.
Yeah, it was a Masonic, which means what? A Masonic temple is a secret order. So that's interesting, Nadia, that this was a secret order. I think it's about... You know, the dream is about, you know, and the camera. What is the camera?
I don't know, man. Her soul?
Yeah, something like that.
And she wasn't alarmed when she saw you.
Right. Yeah. It was like a friend.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. I felt like that was very telling of
dude,
her feelings
I'm
about
jealous
you.
Of that. I want someone to
you dream, should be.
Dream
you should be jealous of that call.
I'm really jealous. That was great.
It was so intimate, too.
It was very intimate.
And I shared it with everybody. I was like, I was thinking, do I play that publicly? Because it's a very intimate dream. But then I thought, yes, because, you know, that's what this podcast is about. It's about being open with our innermost thoughts. And the camera is the soul, and there's different textures to it.
You're unfolding it.
She wanted to know, you were like, how does that work?
Yeah.
Show me the camp. So she was showing you how it all works for her. And she wasn't embarrassed to show you her.
And you were interested. You were intrigued.
Right. But, it, you know, again, to me, it's the secret place. Like, you know what I mean? Like art, soul, intimacy, the womb.
Okay.
You know, and it's like a deep, deep thing. I think Nadia really likes the podcast is my final. But thank you so much, Nadia. Now let's go back to another phone call here.
Hi, Eddie. This is Dave from Santa Monica. I was wondering if you ever considered forming a musical group, a doo-wop group called Eddie and the Pepitones. Thank you.
Dave, thank you for that call. That was even a little more interesting than Nadia's call. That was also beautifully intimate. And it came from a deep, deep place. But yeah, Eddie and the Pepitones. Yes, Dave. That's been discussed a lot over my life. Let's go on with another call here. Here we go.
Hello. I just wanted to say thank you for this opportunity. Not many people give this kind of access. It's great because I just wanted to tell you that you're loved beyond measure. And when I look in your eyes and you're doing your set, I see your soul. And that cannot be said for many people. You're a special man. And you shit on that all you want. You probably will. Ah, it's true. Fuck it. It's true. You're a sweet man and very smart. And the only person speaking up for us little guys, basically, I have to say, a lot of comedians are just like, I don't know, they're waiting for that corporate gig or whatever. So they're tight-lipped, but you, sir, give it to us straight, and it's appreciated. I just want you to know that. All right, much love. Have a great one.
Oh, that was a beautiful call again, and that we didn't get your name, but thank you so much for that call. And I think it's good that nobody is mentioning Steve. Let's do one more call before we go to a commercial.
Shayna, you might be my replacement here.
Another call.
Hey guys, fourth time caller. Not Gina from Portland, but Christina from Portland. Anyways, guess what guys? I'm originally from Louisiana, like Cajun Town, USA, Lafayette, Louisiana, and New Iberia, and St. Martinville. So, what I wanted to do is I wanted to give you guys the real spiel, Holyfield deal on the Cajun accent. So when you do the Cajun accent, I'm telling you, first you gotta picture yourself on Main Street. Main Street right next to Walmart, in downtown St. Martinville. Now, this is right after you've had a nice cup of gumbo. Okay, I'm walking by a church now. I'll call back again later.
Oh my God, that was really funny.
Oh my God.
That was not Gina, but Christina from Portland. Oh my God, that was funny. She sounded drunk.
Totally.
You think so? That was so funny, though. You got a nice cup of gumbo. I don't even know what right fucking accent. You know what?
This is the time of year when they're partying down there.
Oh.
Remember, this is the Mardi Gras time of year in Louisiana.
Oh,
so
what
she
time was
just,
that phone call?
She could have just wandered over, you know.
Hey guys, so we got a bunch, you know, we got a bunch of messages, and we call in the show. Call in the show. I'll give you the number later because I don't. Hold it. Let me look for this fucking number. Here it is. If you want to leave a message, call 424-262-0904. 424-262-0904 to leave a message for me or Steve, preferably me.
Most likely it'll be for me.
Let's see. Steve, you're going to read our first ad today.
I just want to say before this ad, mm-hmm. Eddie, you're on a lot of people's consciousness this last week and even in some unconscious.
Yeah.
You know, pretty cool, man.
That's good.
Not bad.
Yeah. All right, so these are written by these. By the way, we just love our sponsors, even though we have not made any money off them, which to me is antithetical.
I have.
To what a sponsor Steve has. But anyway, these are written by Matt Rasamoto, our producer and strong man. He strong arms people who don't pay, but we haven't gotten paid. So go ahead, Steve.
Soon, available on Audible, the unabridged sex message Jeff Bezos sent to Lauren Sanchez. A few weeks ago, the National Enquirer tried to blackmail the CEO of Amazon. Did you know that? And in a bold move, Bezos published all of his own dirty laundry. Then Bezos doubled down by having those texts narrated by a master of erotic storytelling. That's right. The undeniable Eddie Pepitone.
I love you. Oh no, prepare yourself. You needed to read one more line.
I did.
Sorry, folks. Right?
Sorry.
Right?
Sorry, Matt. Prepare yourself.
Let's
Sorry,
start it
Audible.
Again.
Audible.
Let's start it again.
The
Hold on. Hold on. Let me set the stage again. Look, folks. Life isn't perfect. Okay? You want a polished podcast? Maybe you should go to a podcast that has a lot of fucking money.
Joe Rogan.
Maybe go to Joe Rogan's. I was on Joe Rogan's. He's very nice to me. And he's a sweetheart.
Is he?
He's very much a sweetheart. But our podcast is not polished, okay? This is grit. This is nitty, and this is gritty.
Fly from the seat of your pants.
There's a lot of blood left on the floor in this. This is a slaughterhouse of personalities. It's a slaughterhouse of egos, and it's a slaughterhouse just to get this fucking thing out to you people. And you, all you want is free entertainment.
We just hope you appreciate it, so please call in. Please call in the number.
God bless you. God bless
you. Tell us about your dream.
Hey, Emma, how long have we been on? 40 minutes. 40?
Yep.
All right, go ahead, Steve.
Soon, available on Audible, the unabridged sex messages Jeff Bezos sent to Lauren Sanchez. A few weeks ago, the National Enquirer tried to blackmail the CEO of Amazon, and in a bold move, Bezos published all of his own dirty laundry. Then Bezos doubled down by having those texts narrated by our master of erotic storytelling, Mr. Eddie Pepitone. Prepare yourself for the full, unhindered sexuality from a billionaire nerd with a very small social vocabulary.
I love you, alive girl. I will show you with my body and my lips and my eyes very soon. I want to smell you. I want to breathe you in. I want to hold you tight like I'm carrying too many groceries. I want to kiss your lips. I love you. I am in love with you. I give your vagina 4.5 stars. I have needs that start in my mouth and then go south, baby. A homeless man yelled that at me. He was urinating on a rat. I think it also applies here. I think about chickens a lot. I don't think I like them. Also, we should open mouth kiss more. These hands are man hands. They are made of meat and bone. I use them to build and destroy. Am I not then a god of meat?
So join Audible today and get, and that was just a sampling, what billionaire Jeff Bezos calls the only way I can achieve climax, the unabridged Bezos sects. Read by the great Eddie Pepitone.
Thank you, Steve. And yeah, I read that. I remember when I was reading that and I just felt like, oh my God, this is beautiful stuff from Bezos. And, you know, he catches a lot of heat because he's maybe one of the richest men. He's obviously one of the richest men in the world, you know, and he's a prick and he pays his employees. I mean, we don't want that to affect our ads.
I just want to say I listened to the sexts narrated by Pepitone, and wait until you get to the ones about how he pays no taxes.
Mm.
Oh, man. And this time of year.
That's right. He pays no taxes.
This time of year to listen to that. I mean, it's voyeur porn. It really is voyeur porn in March.
Is there any other kind of porn but voyeur porn?
Well, it is. Well.
Right?
Yeah. That's a good point. Thanks, Eddie.
We have another ad. I'm going to read this one. And this is a new sponsor. They're called Cano Suits, and they're really, so far we've had a good relationship with them, and they came here to the studio, and they proposed not to pay us. Here's Cano Suits. Hey, by the way, again, I want to talk to you, the audience. You know, fuck you, just in general. Okay, here we go. This is Cano Suits. Do you love the look and feel of a quality suit, but just don't have the closet space to dedicate to a fine, gentlemanly wardrobe? That's my problem, by the way. I don't have, I have maybe a couple of suit jackets, but I don't have the pants. And the reason I don't have the pants is I don't have space in my closet, because in my closet, I have put, there's so many skeletons, you know, there's so many skeletons. Okay, so, well, today is your lucky day, because now there is Cano Suits. Kano Suits is the space age breakthrough in men's fashion that you have been waiting for. Made from 100% stretchable nylon, you can fit a full three-piece suit into a single can. And what's better is that each suit has a one-size-fits-all guarantee. That's the magic of nylon. Listen to some of these testimonials. Cheating on my wife used to be exhausting, but now, thanks to Canna Suits, my wife thinks I have a doppelganger who drives the same car, responds to the same name, but dresses up real classy-like. I think she's even a little jealous.
I'm constantly getting blood all over the place, but now with Canna Suits, the only thing sharp about me is how I look and possibly my bag of rusty dental tools.
Order today and treat yourself to a six-pack of suits for the price of one greatly discounted department store suit. What are you waiting for? Pop open your can of suits today.
Yeah, can of suits. I mean, they're great because, I mean, I don't know if women need, you know, is there anything like dresses in a can or, no, they have things like in an egg, like there's pantyhose in an egg. I remember that. You remember that, Steve?
Pantyhose in an egg? Yeah, that was a big thing in the 80s and 70s.
How much is it, a can?
The can of suits?
Yeah.
They don't say.
No,
here.
They don't. That's...
They say it's for like the price of one greatly discounted department store suit. So you get six suits.
For the price.
And it's in a can.
Right.
And in their nylon.
And then once you wear it, can you put it back in the can?
Yes.
But don't wash it.
No, don't wash a can of suits. No, you don't want to wash a can of suits.
Okay.
No, you don't want to wash it.
I didn't imagine.
All right, so let's get back to...
Toledo.
To Toledo and Shayna. You guys met at a place here called the Kibitz Room, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Comedy every Tuesday.
Did you do it? Did you do it?
Mm-hmm. Last night?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I try to go up every Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
That's my regular.
That's an open mic?
Mm-hmm. It's a little combination of an open mic and, you know.
Booked?
It's a couple of us, like me and Barry Sobel.
Sobel?
Yeah, he goes up every... He was pissed at me yesterday.
Why?
Because he was supposed to go on after me, and I riled up the audience, and then he... So he asked Bert, the host, to put him... To bump him a little later.
What'd you do to the audience?
I attacked them. But it was
like,
funny.
Pointed at them and personally.
I said,
"This
is
them.
These are the people in the middle of America who will never care about me anyway." They were talking through my set loud in the front row, and I pointed them out and I said, "These people, it's okay to alienate them because they will never care about me anyway." And people laughed.
They were from Florida and Chicago.
Really?
Oh, there was and Los Angeles, but he called them Middle America.
We get so many tourists they were in offended. LA. We get so many tourists in L.A. When I play the Comedy Store, I guess the Improv too, but the Comedy Store particularly, there are so many people from all over who you know, have heard the Comedy Store is great, so they're flocking there. But it is so funny, like the different vibe sometimes at the store. Like I performed, it was a Wednesday, and they were just, it was just a real out-of-town crowd, and I didn't dig it. You know, I just felt like I had to work hard. You know,
were the other comics having an easy time? Were like
easier,
right?
Because I'm a little, you know, I'm not right down the middle.
You're not giving them the low hanging fruit.
Yeah, and I'm not like, you know, as formed as them, as like polished.
Like Salieri said about Mozart, he said you have to give them the oomph at the end so they know when to clap.
Yeah.
When you go to Detroit, do you change your comedy based on where you are in the country?
No.
No.
Not really. Not really. I learned that what people want is just authenticity. That's what they want. They want authenticity. And if you try to like tail, yeah, there'll be little tweaks. Like I'll be like thinking about, okay, what's the word I'm looking for? What is unique to this particular place in the country? You know?
Yeah, you'll talk about Toledo when you're there.
Well, I am going to say, hey, you're lucky.
We're not.
It's going to get a huge laugh, by the way. That's going to be...
That you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, God, I'm so looking forward to it.
Me too. I'll be there.
This is a big phone call week, so we have more phone calls. All right, here's another one. This guy gave it right between the eyes.
What the hell is this? 13 days off? In my day, we worked every single day. We didn't take 20 days off, 30 days off in a row. Mark Maron can do it twice a week. You can do it once a week. Right? Get to work.
Let me point out that Maron, sir, talking to you. Let me point out that Maron makes a shitload of money. If I was making a shitload of money, I'd be here twice a week easily.
You know what Brody would say? Well, that's why you have to do it twice a week, so you'll make that kind of money.
Yeah, I barely can do it once a week.
Here's what I'm proposing. Mm. When you go out of town. Last week, by the way, sir, we had no choice. It was a memorial podcast.
Right,
Brody.
Now he didn't know
he
that.
He didn't know that, but I'm proposing this because we sort of discussed it. Uh-huh. So I'm proposing this. When you go out of town or if you can't make it, I will do it and bring in a guest. And if you aren't going to do it in the element.
Oh, yeah.
I will.
That would be cool, actually,
come
that
in
you,
and
that
do
you,
it.
That you do it solo. Unless the response is really good and you're a threat.
Yeah, or if I'm really terrible, it'll make you feel a sense
yes.
of security.
All right, here's another call. We're getting through the calls pretty good. Here we go.
Hey, Eddie. It's Scott here from Canada again. Turns out you were right. It was the drugs. The chipmunk was not actually talking to me, and it's not possible for humans to hibernate. So that's out the window. I wanted to make sure you see the truth. Dig.com, Chris Hedges article before you record your podcast this week. Truthdig.com, TRUTHDIG.com.
Thanks for that.
Chris Hedges is talking about the end of the world, man. You've got to get people on your podcast. You've got to talk about climate change. Get boring scientists on. Get extremists like Guy McPherson. Once every four podcasts, once every eight podcasts, please, for the love of God, read this article before you tape on, I guess, Wednesday. And let's do what Bill Burr said and just load our pockets up with rocks and walk into the ocean, or let's fight this shit. Okay? God bless you. I can't, looking forward to your new special, seeing it. Can't wait. Okay. Love you. Bye.
Thank you, Scott. And, yeah, by the way, I read Hedges religiously on Truth Dig, and I wait. His pieces come out on Monday, but I'm Sunday night looking for them to be posted. That's how into Chris Hedges I am. And I think it was midnight this past Sunday where I was looking for Hedges' article, and it wasn't up yet. And I was like, fuck, I hope
you look for Hedges the way some of your audience waits for you.
I was about to ask you, do you dream about that?
No, but and then he said, first of all, I'd like to say, you know, good for you for realizing that, you know, it was the drug. No, because the first step in getting healthy is admittance, right? Is admittance. And you, so good that the chipmunk was not actually talking to you. This was a call that we had from Scott a while ago.
Mm-hmm. One of our better callers, too.
Very good caller. And then as far as getting climate scientists, we happen to have one here today with us. The one thing I didn't mention about Shayna was that she's a climate scientist. What do you think is going on with the climate? Is it breaking down as much as you think? Now, you've done a lot of research, right, into this stuff?
Yeah, I did. I forgot to mention that I was a special climate scientist.
I know. Toledo kind of overshadows that a bit.
Yeah. But you know what? That mm-hmm. climate stuff, mm-hmm. it's gotten pretty complicated.
I know.
It's pretty hard to follow. And between yoga, between my laundry piling up at home, I haven't had much time to do research other than stepping outside and just feeling it.
Uh-huh. So you've gotten kind of too busy then to do the climate thing?
Yeah, between living in L.A. Yeah.
L.A.'s busy, isn't it?
Yeah. In Toledo, it was much easier. There was nothing to do.
She's in a relationship that takes time and energy.
You're in a relationship?
Yeah, Steve loves to mention that. I'm not sure why.
Because I want people to know that I am not in a relationship.
So, Shayna, that's too bad that, you know, and this is happening to a lot of experts, Scott, that whatever their expertise is, and Shayna is a great example, they're just too busy with other things, right? By the way, wouldn't that be funny if, like, you have on, like, I don't know, just like an economist. He's world renowned, but he, like, his basement flooded, let's say.
He's been too preoccupied.
And he's like, yes, hi. Like, but he has to, you like, CNN brought him on to discuss,
the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, Federal Reserve. And he's like, look, I'm not sure what is going on with the Federal Reserve. The last 2 weeks I've been dealing with mold in my basement. The water was really high. But Frank, now I'm being the CNN reporter. Frank, I know your basement flooded, but what do you think of the way the currency – I can't talk about the currency because I'm so pissed off about this water – that I'm trying to siphon off, and the guy said he'd be here on Wednesday. It would just be so funny.
Oh, my gosh. And the wife screaming in the background, you got to get up here. I'm not.
Frank, the dog is drowning in the basement. Now, my dog Boris is drowning. No, but before you look, I know your dog is drowning. I know the basement.
Call me next week.
I know your basement is flooded, but can you please just tell us what is going on with the Federal Reserve? I can't. My dog, Frank, Boris. Also, Frank, we have to meet Marge and Tony at the Italian place. I also have a dinner engagement. I just think that would be funny. Like they're like experts
dealing with domestic catastrophe. Yeah.
Emma, how long are we now?
We're at
56:01. Wow.
56, so we're wrapping up.
Yeah.
All right, let's play another phone call. Okay, here we go.
Hi, Eddie and podcast people.
That's you, Steve.
Thank you.
And other people.
You mentioned Steve.
I'm really excited to be calling. I wanted to call for a while since I found out about your comedy, which has quickly become my favorite stuff to watch and read. And I live in LA, go to the Comedy Store. I saw you a couple weeks ago, and I'm totally truthfully was the hardest I'd ever laughed. I couldn't breathe. It hurt. Something about like adult like coloring book, and it was amazing. It felt like so good. Actually my friend Gina from Portland who called in, she told me about you, and now I'm hooked. So I'm calling today. Been really sad about Stephen Brody Stevens. Mm. I actually live in Reseda. And
Reseda.
I just loved him and watching him. And I don't know. I've just been, he was with all of his issues and talking about them and going on podcasts and talking about them and, he was like a symbol of hope that people with those problems can just keep going and succeeding. And it's like an everyday issue that you have to, you know, combat is depression and, to see somebody, you know, that you think is like, all right, he's doing it. Like, yeah, he's got problems, but he's still doing it. If he's still doing it, I can still do it. And then now, you know, he's not still doing it. He's gone. He did the worst thing. He failed. And, I was just thinking about, something that Doug Stanhope said. He said, people who say that suicide isn't the answer haven't heard all the questions. And that was in relation to him assisting his mother commit suicide because she was very sick for a very long time. And then you have somebody like Brody Stevens who, you know, he's...
And then here's the finish to the phone call.
Hi, I just wanted to finish my thought. I just feel like I'm really sad, I'm really angry, and upset about the waste. It takes so much to make a human. It's so much food and water and filtering the water and growing the food and the sunlight and the energy. And, you know, I'm vegan, but the plants and if you eat meat, it's like, oh my God, the fucking farms that grow the cows. And it's just so much energy, and babies can't take care of themselves. So you have all this energy from parents and schooling and college and sports and like, then it's just like gone, and you just are off. You're done. It's so easy. And it's kind of mind-boggling. It's like impossible to wrap your mind around that. And obviously he was much sicker in his mind than anybody really knew. So anyways, I've just been struggling with that for the past couple of days, and listening to his stuff and trying, I don't know, but those are my thoughts, and I really appreciate love the podcast so much. And my final thought is I wanted to say I really appreciate you. I appreciate the podcast, and you don't know how many people you help. Not everybody calls in or writes or goes to shows, but we, you're helping us. So thank you, and I wish I could have told Brody that at some point. Not that it would have made a difference, but, you know, anyways. Okay, thank you, bye.
Oh, that was a great call. I don't think we got a name on that one, did we? That's a great call.
Christina from Christina from Portland, not Gina from Christina from somewhere. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It is Christina.
Is that Christina?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Christina. And you know, her thoughts about Brody they're interesting and they're heartfelt for sure, you know. What do you think about that whole thing about how much it takes to make one human being? I never thought about that.
I don't think we should be thinking about that. I mean, it's too neurotic.
You were talking about that.
Yeah, that's neurotic. But the closing, what do you think of it?
Well, I mean, it just made me think how much it does take, you know, she was talking about energy.
Just like how much food, schooling. Yeah, those are parents that raised him. You know, that's...
Are his parents...
And I don't blame... Crazy. I mean, I think she was angry too. I think Christina, you know, and I was angry, and I still can get angry that Brody's not here. Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's like, wow. I mean, that, you know, they say there's seven stages of death. The first one is anger. You know, and then I think this call was right after... Brody died.
So sad.
Yeah.
We see him every week, so every week we're reminded he's not here with us. He would be out there talking about baseball with us and comedy, and every week we're reminded, Christina. So we know, I know, you know, we would sit there for a half hour and have this welcoming, loving... I get to sit and watch Eddie Pepitone and Brody Stevens talk shit for 20 minutes, you know.
And thank you, for saying that we reach a lot of people and that we help a lot of people. I just wish my father would feel like that. All right. First, I'd like to thank my guest, Shaina Rabbani, a climate scientist who has just been
just 3 weeks.
Way too busy. But
way too
and
busy.
3 weeks in comedy.
And three and a half weeks.
And a half. Yes.
That's a big half. That's,
and you have to listen to George Carlin. Yeah. That's your homework assignment.
That's my homework. I got it.
That's your homework.
And you
got
to listen to Cardi B. Oh, just kidding.
But you could
thank
call,
you for having you could, me.
Yes, absolutely. And call into the podcast and let us know what you think of Carlin. You know, no rush. You could call in whenever, a couple of months from now or next week.
Maybe I'll have a dream.
So if you have a message you want to leave for us, 424-262-0904. Now, on the last podcast, we mentioned how Kaiser Sose gave us 2 stars. Then, like true humanitarians, they went back and upped their rating to 5 stars. Let me tell you, that's how podcast ratings are done. We don't care what you say about us as long as you give us 5 stars while you do it. So rate us, give us 5 stars. Earlier today, a man at the coffee shop stopped me and said, "Your distorted observations make me feel so unsure of my place in this world that when my children ask for a bedtime story, I panic and scream a random stream of sports facts at them." That's how we affect people here on this podcast. "I told him to tell his sob story to iTunes because Papa don't want to hear none of that jazz unless it has 5 stars behind it. And now that man is the CEO of a tire company in Toledo." If you want to be rich and successful, rate us on iTunes, subscribe on YouTube, and like us on SoundCloud. Our engineers for this podcast are Emma Erdbrink, who is here today, and Aaron Brungart, who is at home eating. And our producer is Matt Rasamoto. The fan mail, our email has changed. I've had a fucking problem with my email, so it's changed now to fanmail@peptalkspodcast.com. fanmail@peptalkspodcast.com. Facebook, you can reach me at fb.me/pepitonefans. And then YouTube, pepitonepodcast.com. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Steve. And we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.